All right, so let's imagine this, right? You're a senior citizen, you're relying on Medicare Part B, and bam, out of nowhere, you get a claim denied.
Oh, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, paperwork, a system that just feels impossible to deal with.
Absolutely.
It's not just like a what if, though. It's a real thing a lot of people actually go through. So today we're looking at Schweiker v. McClure, this Supreme Court case, and we're asking, is the way Medicare Part B handles disputes, is it even fair? Is it constitutional?
It's fascinating, really, because it gets at something we're seeing more and more these days. The private companies running things that used to be the government's job, like public benefits.
Right.
And that means they're making choices that affect whether people get essential services like healthcare.
Huge implications.
Absolutely.
So before we get too deep in the weeds with this case, maybe a quick explainer on Medicare Part B, how it works, especially its kind of unique structure.
Yeah, good point. So, unlike Part A, which is all about hospital stays, directly run by the feds, Part B, that's your doctor visits, outpatient care, that works a little differently.
Okay.
It's federally subsidized, so the government's helping with the cost, but who actually runs it day to day? Private insurance companies.
Interesting.
They process claims, they decide what's covered, they're like the gatekeepers.
So we've got Medicare, this program we think of as the government, but a big chunk of it, Part B, is actually handled by private companies.
Right.
And that's where our case, Schweiker v. McClure, comes in.
Right on. So we've got William McClure and some others who got their Part B claims denied.
Okay.
They do everything by the book, written evidence, the whole nine yards, still denied. Now, if the dispute's over $100, they can have a hearing in person. But here's the kicker: the hearing officer, the one who makes the final call, chosen by the same insurance company that already denied their claim. And there's no appealing that decision. That's what McClure's fighting. He's saying the whole setup is biased, it violates his right to due process.
So the same folks who said no to your claim in the first place, they also pick the person deciding your appeal. That's like, I don't know, being the player and the referee all at once, right?
Yeah, you see the problem. And that's exactly what kicked off this legal battle. This went to court, and first, the district court actually sided with McClure, the claimants. They said, nope, this is unconstitutional. Hearing's got to be in front of an administrative law judge, someone who's not tied to the insurance company.
Sounds more fair.
But, plot twist, Supreme Court steps in, overturns that decision.
Wow, Supreme Court reversal. Now things are getting serious.
Yeah.
What was their reasoning for keeping the system as it was?
They lean on this legal idea called presumption of impartiality. It basically means we assume hearing officers are unbiased unless we have clear proof otherwise.
Okay.
So the burden's on the person saying there's bias in this case, McClure, to prove the hearing officer has a reason to rule against them, like some kind of financial incentive.
Yeah. So the court's saying, we're going to assume good faith unless proven otherwise. But I got to think it's not always that simple in the real world.
You're right to be skeptical. The court did address those concerns, though, that insurance companies might be pressuring hearing officers to deny more claims.
Yeah.
Their argument: carriers pay claims using federal money, not their own, so they don't actually save money by denying claims.
That's an interesting point. It shifts the focus, right? Not so much about the individual insurance company, but about the overall government system keeping things in check. But what about the hearing officers themselves? Are they qualified? Does the court even address that? These
Well,
are people making decisions that affect people's health care, right?
you're absolutely right to ask that. And the court did look at this issue. They pointed out that the Secretary of Health and Human Services has guidelines for picking these officers. They got to have experience with Medicare and medical stuff. Plus, there are safeguards built in, like having both written and oral hearings. In the end, the court felt these were enough to guarantee things were fair and followed due process.
So they weren't just pulling random people off the street to make these big decisions about healthcare coverage. There was some process in place, some oversight.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where things get even trickier, legally speaking. To really cement their decision, the Supreme Court brings in this big legal tool, the Matthews v. Eldridge balancing test. Now, for folks who aren't law nerds like us, this test is all about weighing the individual's right to a fair hearing against the government's need to run a huge program like Medicare efficiently.
So it's not black and white. There's this gray area where they got to consider individual rights, but also the practical stuff, how to actually run this massive program.
Yeah.
How do they apply that balancing test to this case?
So they acknowledge that Medicare Part B benefits are definitely important.
Right.
But they said a full-blown hearing with an administrative law judge, like the district court wanted, wasn't as crucial as it might be for, say, welfare benefits, where people's basic needs are at stake. Basically, they said the current safeguards were enough to protect people's rights and let the government efficiently handle millions of claims every year. It's about balance. And in this case, they felt practicality won out.
So the court's saying due process isn't just about having every possible procedural safeguard, but finding that sweet spot between being fair and the reality of managing a complex system.
Exactly. And there's one more piece to this case that's particularly relevant for us legal folks, the delegation doctrine.
Okay, gotta admit, those Latin-y legal terms always make me a little nervous. Can you get a plain English version?
Of course. Basically, the delegation doctrine says Congress can hand off certain jobs to private groups, but only if there are enough safeguards to prevent abuse.
Gotcha.
And that's what the Supreme Court found in Schweiker v. McClure. They acknowledged that Congress gave the Secretary of Health and Human Services the power to set standards for these hearings, and that level of oversight, they decided, was enough to satisfy the Constitution.
So, in simpler terms, it's okay for the government to outsource some stuff, but they can't just give private companies free rein. There have to be rules, oversight, to make sure things are fair and ethical.
Exactly. And this whole case becomes even more significant when you realize that the trend of privatizing government functions has just exploded since Schweiker v. McClure in 1982.
Right. It's not just about Medicare Part B anymore. We're talking all sorts of public services now, from managing Medicaid to even running prisons. Mm-hmm. This case has huge ripple effects.
For sure. And that's why it's so important to really unpack it, to understand what it means for the future. Schweiker v. McClure isn't just some old legal case. It gives us a framework for thinking about how we balance getting things done efficiently with ensuring fairness in a world where private companies are doing more and more of the government's work.
Really important point. So for our listeners, especially those who might have clients dealing with Medicare Part B or other privatized government services, what are the key things to take away from Schweiker v. McClure? We'll dive deeper into those questions in the next part of our deep dive.
Welcome back. As we were just saying, Schweiker v. McClure isn't just some old legal case gathering dust.
Right. It matters now, especially for us in the legal field. Think about it. Due process, when the government's relying on private companies for so much, like handing over sensitive information or, as you mentioned, managing health care, Medicaid, for millions.
It's spot on. And that's where Schweiker v. McClure gets really interesting. It basically sets a precedent. Like, hey, we can delegate, let private companies do these things, but we got to be absolutely sure there are safeguards. It's not just go ahead, privatize whatever. There's this constant push and pull between getting things done efficiently and making sure they're fair.
It's like walking a tightrope, right?
Yeah.
On one side, the government wants things streamlined, cheaper. On the other side, you have individual rights that need for due process.
Perfect analogy. If we just go for efficiency, we might end up sacrificing fairness. Vulnerable people get left without protection. But if we swing too far the other way, make things super strict, then it becomes like this bureaucratic nightmare. Nothing gets done.
It seems like the Matthews test, the one we talked about earlier, gives us a way to handle that tension. But as you said, there's a lot of judgment calls involved.
You got it. The Matthews test, it makes us weigh different things. What the individual needs, how likely mistakes are, what the government's interest is. But those things are hard to measure. Like, how do you even define the risk of error in some complicated government process? Or put a number on the government's interest in efficiency? These are things legal experts argue about all the time.
So we have a roadmap with the Matthews test, but there's wiggle room, which means different cases might have different outcomes.
That's why Schweiker v. McClure still gets people riled up. Some legal folks, they say it gives the government too much power to privatize without enough due process protections. Others, they say it's realistic. It acknowledges how government works today, how important efficiency is.
It's that classic legal debate, individual rights versus how you actually run a complicated society. But we can't lose sight of the real people affected by all this. It's not just theoretical.
Absolutely. Think about it. You're an older person relying on Medicare Part B. Suddenly, your claim is denied. What happens then? It could really affect your health, your well-being. You're up against this huge, confusing system. You might not even know where to get help.
Yeah, it can be so overwhelming, make people feel totally alone. And that's why it's so crucial for us, legal professionals, to get this, to advocate for systems that are both efficient and fair. We need to make sure our clients, especially those who are most vulnerable, know their rights, have the resources they need to navigate all this.
Absolutely. It's about making sure people don't get lost in the bureaucracy. They need someone on their side, someone who understands the process, can help them gather evidence, present their case.
So practical stuff from Schweiker v. McClure, for lawyers, law students working with clients in these situations? What can we do to help them protect their rights, get through these systems effectively?
First things first, emphasize this. Even with government benefits run by private companies, you still have due process rights. It's not like a corporation has all the power. You can appeal, show evidence, get a neutral decision maker. And if you think those rights were violated, there are legal options.
It's about giving our clients their power back. They don't just have to accept a denial. They can fight it.
You got it. And this is where being super organized is key. Tell clients to keep everything. Communication with the insurance company, medical bills, denial notices, any document related to their case. It could be crucial if they have to challenge your decision later.
It's like laying the groundwork, a strong foundation for their case. The more evidence, the better.
Exactly. And don't forget about connecting clients with resources, support networks, legal aid societies, advocacy groups, patient advocacy programs. They're all out there. They're pros at helping people navigate this stuff. They can give advice, find experienced lawyers, offer support throughout the appeals process.
Right. We don't have to do this alone. There's a whole network of people and groups dedicated to fighting for those who might get lost in the system.
Exactly. In the end, I think cases like Schweiker v. McClure remind us, knowledge is power. The more we understand these systems, the legal precedents, the procedures, the potential problems, the better we can advocate for our clients. Level the playing field, make sure everyone, no matter their background, gets a fair chance to receive the benefits they're entitled to.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, some questions to think about. How do we, legal professionals, balance efficiency and fairness when we're advising clients dealing with these complex systems?
Yeah.
And what can we do to make sure these privatized systems are held accountable, that they actually meet people's needs?
Back again for our deep dive into Schweiker v. McClure. We've been really digging into this case, what it means, and this whole trend of private companies running public services.
And like we've been talking about, it's messy, right? No easy solutions.
Yeah.
This clash between individual rights and the reality of how you actually make these big government programs work, it's tough.
Yeah, a real head scratcher. Legal precedents, ethical stuff, economic factors, and of course, the people at the center of it all.
It's like one of those puzzles with a million pieces.
Exactly. And for us in the legal world, I think Schweiker v. McClure really drives home this point. Due process, it's not some cookie cutter thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The rules, the protections, they depend on the specifics of each situation.
Makes sense. It's not just about ticking boxes, following the same steps every time. It's about understanding what makes each case different, figuring out the right approach.
You got it. Remember the Matthews v. Eldridge test. The court, in Schweiker, they decided the safeguards in Medicare Part B, the written review, the oral hearing, they were enough for that particular case. But, and this is important, those same safeguards might not cut it in a different situation.
So we can't just assume what works in one area will be fair and effective everywhere else.
Right. Imagine a benefit that's crucial for someone's survival. Food stamps, housing assistance, things like that. Denying those benefits could be devastating, right? Life or death, even. So the appeals process for those decisions needs to be rock solid, really protect people's rights.
Really puts things in perspective. It's not just theoretical legal stuff. We're talking about real-world impacts, people's lives.
And that's why advocacy is so important. We need people, organizations, who are willing to step up for those who might get overlooked in these systems. People who can point out problems, fight unfair practices, push for changes that strengthen due process.
Being a voice for those who don't have one. Recognizing that not everyone can navigate these systems. They might not have the knowledge, the resources, the ability to do it on their own.
Totally. And that advocacy, it can take different shapes. Direct legal help for folks denied benefits, class action lawsuits to address big systemic issues, educating the public, making sure policymakers understand how important due process is.
So many ways to make a difference. And I think one of the most powerful things we could do is just raise awareness. The more people understand these systems, the problems, how people get treated unfairly, how to fight back, the better they can protect themselves and the people they care about.
Knowledge is power, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just knowing the law. It's knowing where to get help, what resources are out there, who to call if things go south. It's giving people the tools to take control.
And I think that's a major takeaway from Schweiker v. McClure. Even in a world where private companies are doing more and more of what used to be the government's job, we can't forget those basic due process rights that protect individuals and make sure things are fair. It's on all of us, lawyers, advocates, citizens, to make sure these systems work right, to fight for a society where everyone has a chance to be heard, to get the benefits they deserve.
Well said. And Schleicher v. McClure, even though it's decided so long ago, it's still relevant today. We're still figuring out this whole efficiency versus fairness thing in a world that's getting more complex all the time.
A conversation we need to keep having in our classrooms, in courtrooms, in our communities. Because the fight for due process, it doesn't end. And it's definitely a fight worth fighting.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for having me today. It's been great digging into this important topic with you.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. And to our listeners, until next time, keep asking those tough questions and keep working towards a more just and equitable society.